Hello, it's Friday, March 15th, and welcome to episode 310 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI Senior Fellow Morgan Vigna, and I'm joined today by NSI Founder and Executive Director Jamil Jaffer, NSI Deputy Executive Director Jessica Jones, and my fellow Senior Fellow Lester Munson. Today, we are returning to the Middle East, where there have been some news stories about the United States once again negotiating with the regime in Iran. This time, news outlets report it's in a desperate attempt to have the Iranians use their influence with the Houthis in Yemen to stop attacking the U.S. military and commercial cargo ships in the Red Sea. This is all the while Iran continues to enrich its uranium an inch closer to nuclear weaponization. Then yesterday, we saw Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer take the Senate floor and deliver an address on the Israel-Hamas war in which he had some pretty scathing remarks for Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He said, "The Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past." The two, of course, are both tied to the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. As we know, following Hamas's October 7th terrorist attack in Israel, the region exploded into a hot battle space where Iranian proxies are going after our military. Now, 4 months into the war, we've seen a dire humanitarian situation develop in Gaza. Israel has pledged to defeat Hamas and seeks the return of the rest of the hostages, whereas Hamas has refused to cooperate in negotiations that would allow for a meaningful ceasefire, temporary or otherwise, which would allow humanitarian relief. Clearly, Biden administration support for Israel is waning. Les, there is no love lost between Bibi Netanyahu and Biden. Biden was initially supportive of Israel's war to defeat Hamas, but we're really seeing the tides shift now, and Schumer is giving him a ton of political top cover. To what extent is this tied to the election in November?
Well, I think it's entirely about the election in November. And shame on the ruling party here in this country for allowing brazen politics to overcome sensible decisions on foreign policy. Undermining a key ally in the middle of a conflict is such a terrible idea. The temptation needs to be resisted. I'm not saying I agree with the temptation. I don't agree with the Democrats' odd obsession with Bibi Netanyahu. He's a democratically elected prime minister. He reflects the views of Israeli voters. There is no doubt about that. And to personalize this is just really, really dumb and short-sighted. But to then to actually go out in the middle of a conflict and undermine his government, the actually it's a unity government with some of his political opposition, is you know, Jamil, I'll give you credit. You said this earlier. It's insane. This is such a bad idea on so many levels. It's not helping the United States. It's not helping Israel. It's not helping resolve this conflict any sooner. It's bad across the board. Shame on the majority leader for doing it. I hope it was not coordinated with the White House and this was a one-off mistake, but it seems like it was coordinated and it's just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, Jamil, I want you to respond to that, but I also wanted you to talk a little bit about the White House's talks with Iran. Clearly, they're in an attempt to escalate the tinderbox that is the Middle East right now. You know, while the Houthis continue to be a problem, we have seen a drop off in the Iranian-backed strikes against the United States and Syria and Iraq, especially after the three service member deaths in Jordan. So do you actually think these direct or indirect talks with Iran are actually going to work?
Well, here's what I worry about these talks. Just like the JCPOA talks back in the day, these talks are taking place in Oman. The Omanis are negotiating them. And just like before, it's a couple of officials from the State Department heading over, having these secret dialogues that nobody knows about. And just like before, there's a payoff. Right now, the administration is about to waive sanctions on Iraq, allowing the transfer of $10 billion to Iran. So there's clearly a drug deal going on here. This is not just, hey, we punched you in the teeth with some airstrikes, or we punched your proxies in the teeth with airstrikes, and we'd really like you to help us out and slow things down. They're about to send them $10 billion, which, of course, Iran's going to recycle back into the Houthis, back into the very militias that were killing Americans in Jordan, and back into Hamas that conducted the terrorist attacks in Gaza in Israel. And so I just think this administration's behavior is off the charts when it comes to Iran. The idea that you can negotiate with a terroristic government that funds and supports terror throughout the region and frankly throughout the world is laughable on its face. It failed during the Iran nuclear deal. It's failing again. And yes, we've seen a small downtick in attacks in Iraq and Syria. No surprise, $10 billion will go a long way towards getting the downtick. It'll just rearm those guys so they can come after us later. I just don't understand the logic here. With respect to Majority Leader Schumer's comments, I mean, I just don't even know what to say. It's so ridiculous that the majority of the Senate would think. I mean, imagine if somebody in Iran said, well, you know, we should just really, the American people should impeach the president. I mean, it's just, we would laugh at them. And this is a laughable statement. It makes no sense. We have a democratically elected government. It's one thing to talk about taking out dictators and autocrats. It's a whole other thing to talk about a democratic ally in the middle of a war. It's just catastrophically stupid. And I agree with less 100%. I will say this, though. It does give that visit of Benny Gantz to the United States new meaning. It may very well be the case this coalition government's about to break down. Benny Gantz is about to hop out, and he may be the very candidate that Chuck Schumer's looking for. So we'll see what happens in Israel. This unity government may be in trouble.
That's a really interesting point, Jamil. Jess, clearly Netanyahu has a lot of friends in Washington on the right, but, you know, he also has enemies in Chuck Schumer and in the White House. It's really no surprise here, though, that we've seen these sort of events accumulate the way they have. It was actually towards the end of the last year that we saw the Biden administration's support for Israel really sort of start to wane as the humanitarian situation in Gaza really got quite worse. But are these talks with Iran, is Chuck Schumer's statement or speech yesterday on the floor, is this a bridge too far that, you know, quite frankly, the Israelis need to take action and oust their prime minister?
I mean, I you know, there's probably not that many new words that can be said between Les and Jamil. I'm in total agreement, undermining allies, undermining democratic allies, and not just undermining, but actually calling for regime change or elections is, you know, you can think about the smartness in disagreeing with policies, whether you want to make that public or private. But the fact that we've gone way beyond that to Les's point about calling for change, it's, you know, it's personal. And I think you see the Biden administration, the way we talked on Wednesday about, you know, Poland upping, you know, ratcheting up pressure on the United States to do something about Ukraine, we see the Biden administration in all the ways that it can trying to pressure, kind of trying to maintain some kind of influence with Israel. They see their influence, I think, waning, right? And so they're, you know, whether it's Biden's interview over the weekend about Rafah and the debate, whether he said it was a red line if Israel was going to do operations or not, and we're trying to, you know, the media is trying to figure that out, along with probably Israel. I think they're really just trying to grasp at straws to, one, try to deal with the humanitarian crisis, and two, continue to have some kind of influence leverage with Israel.
Yeah, I will say, I'll offer my two cents here at the end. Just like the Biden administration and the Democrats here in the United States have their own political interests, so does Bibi. Right now, Israelis want the hostages back. There's an immense amount of pressure on Netanyahu and his unity government to deliver them. At the same time, though, Bibi's poll numbers aren't doing so hot right now. I mean, to Jamil's point, we did see Benny Gantz make an appearance in Washington, which reportedly irked the Netanyahu government. With that said, though, Netanyahu is at a point right now where he is pretty committed and dug in on seeing this war through. If he is unable to deliver the hostages, and if he does let up pressure on Hamas, he's going to get crushed regardless. So I think we do have to keep in mind that Israel has their own politics at stake here as well. So,
hey, Morgan.
Yeah,
I want to circle back on one thing, which is there were comments from our vice president a few days ago saying you have to separate the Israeli people from the Israeli government in evaluating what your position is. That is exactly wrong. The Israeli government is elected by the Israeli people. The whole purpose of democracy is to produce those kind of leaders who reflect the views of the people. That is what Israel has done. This is a huge category error, not just by Chuck Schumer, but also by the administration. So I am not at all optimistic about the way forward here.
There you have it. That's a wrap. Thanks to Devlin Burney, Claude Jennings, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Monday, March 18th, for our next episode of Fault Lines. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Yeah.